Welcome to Mental Health Success Stories with John Troutman. Here we provide a space for authentic conversations about real-world mental health challenges. We discuss mental health solutions with national industry leaders. We aim to reduce stigma and increase awareness around mental health issues. We will inspire you to take action and improve your own mental health. We will share and promote realistic mental health solutions that anyone can implement. This podcast is provided to you for information purposes only to encourage a broad public understanding of various mental health topics. The podcast may represent the views and opinions of the author, host, and/or guests, and not necessarily the views and opinions of Pyramid Healthcare. Information contained in this podcast should not be relied upon as medical advice or as a substitute for medical advice. This podcast does not establish any doctor-patient relationship and is not a substitute for individual clinical judgment. If you need medical advice or you are experiencing a medical emergency, call your doctor or 911 immediately. And now here is our host of Mental Health Success Stories, John Troutman.
Welcome to today's show, everyone. We've got another awesome guest here on the podcast, and I've been waiting for this for a long time. I am so glad to have not just my coach and not just my friend, but I believe my brother from a different mother, Mr. Andy Neary. Andy, thanks
for joining us today, man. John, I am excited to be here, my man. It is to watch your growth over the last 2 or 3 years has been pretty impressive, my friend. So it's an honor to be here.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. Again, I just keep throwing this out there whenever I have this opportunity. You know how I'm wired, brother. So you played a major role in my trajectory, and just a lot of things that you did spoke very powerfully to me. And truth be told, you know, I wouldn't be here. Granted, I know I had to take the action, but it was your coaching and your specific bullet points in all of those training sessions that so helped me improve my trajectory. So again, I'm just so thankful, so grateful for you. And just so honored to have you here today again, man. Thanks so much for joining me.
Let's bring some value right now.
Yeah. Awesome. So again, we're looking at an audience here, whether they're watching, whether they're listening, you know, they may be driving down the road. It's fourth quarter right now and things are kind of crazy. So we're going to eventually get into some mental health topics, and I've got a couple of curveballs I'm going to throw the king of changeups way. But before we get there, you know, it could be a possibility that someone's watching this, listening to this for the first time, and they're for the first time being introduced to Andy Neary. What's something professionally you'd like them to be aware of today?
You know, today I'm the founder of Complete Game Consulting. And what we do is we help agencies and advisors get the right attention from prospects. It's that simple. You can't fill a pipeline without attention. And so it dates back to the story I had when I moved out here to Colorado in 2014, which we might get into. And, you know, everything I teach, here's what I'm proud of, John. Everything we teach, we still practice today, and anybody can do it. And so, you know, if you don't know, yeah, for people who don't know who I am, I've been in the industry, the health insurance industry, for 21 years, most of it as an advisor, now as a coach, consultant, content creator for others in the industry. But yeah, man, that's my story in a brief statement. And it's about attention these days.
That's great.
That's something you've done well on LinkedIn, my friend.
Well, thank you again. All I did is I was willing to follow the coach. So, but you know, I have to go there. I'm a baseball fan, coached baseball. Both my sons played baseball every year that they could play baseball. So you actually played Major League Baseball. That's a tremendous accomplishment, right? So if you don't mind, I mean, I think there's a lot of fans out there of baseball. Can you give us just a snapshot of what that looked like in your past?
Yeah, no, I love telling the story because it actually ties into what we do today. So, you know, I was an undersized pitcher coming out of high school. I went into college at 5'9", 144 pounds. So was not an over intimidating presence. And so when I got to UW-Milwaukee, which was a Division I program in Wisconsin, and I say Division I because that was my goal all along. And for the parents who might be listening in that have kids who are trying to get recruited, I didn't get my offer until 2 weeks before my senior season ended. So if they're not getting any offers yet, there's still time. So I'm at UWM and John, my story very simply in college was I went from first 2 years being terrible because I had the wrong focus, hanging around the wrong people. Second 2 years, I honed in on being a student of the game. And it projected me or propelled me to have a really good second half of my career there, which ultimately gave the opportunity to play in the Milwaukee Brewers system, which was really cool because that was a team I grew up rooting for. I grew up 30 miles outside of Milwaukee. And I want to share this story real quick because this is a fun story. So senior year goes by and I don't get drafted. So the draft at that time was at the end of May, early June. Back then there were 50 rounds. Now there's 20, I believe. And so my name doesn't get called. So I think my career is over. And I had accepted an internship at a financial planning company or financial company downtown Milwaukee. And I was in data entry. So for anybody who's listening, who's ever started a career in data entry, you know how terrible that is. So I go to my first day on the job, downtown Milwaukee. I get to the end of the day. I'm like, oh my God, I can't do this for the rest of the summer. Like, this is going to be terrible. Now I had a semester left of school. So I'm like, I can't do this. There's no way. This is going to be the worst summer of my life. And so I come home that night to my apartment. And there's a message on my phone. Yep. That's back when we had phones at home with voice messages. And it's my pitching coach from UWM. And he said, hey, man, give me a call right away. So I called Todd and he told me that you need to call Harvey Keene Jr., who is the local scout, the Brewers. He said, they want to sign you right now. What happens in Major League Baseball is when they draft, about half the kids don't sign because they're high school kids that are going to go on to play college instead of going into the draft. So they have roster spots to fill it at the minor league level. So I signed, you know, on a Monday night, I come home thinking I cannot do this internship the rest of the summer. Like my life is going to be awful to that Friday. I'm in Helena, Montana, wearing a Helena Brewers jersey. And my life, I mean, for the next 2 years, I was playing professional baseball, getting paid to play baseball. And there's not a better feeling than that.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And what a great story too. I didn't know all that information. I'm so glad you shared, man.
Well, and it's, you know, the funny thing that when I tell them how baseball ties into our business today, you know, the reason my baseball career at the professional level, John, only lasted 2 years is I had three fears: fear of comparison, fear of judgment, fear of failure. When you're a free agent, you think everything you do has to be perfect. And honestly, there's a little truth to that because if I go out and have a bad outing, let alone have a bad couple outings in a row, I could be released tomorrow. And I'm going to get one chance compared to the first round picks 10. And so there's a lot of pressure that comes with being a free agent, and it's pressure you put on yourself and that, but it was also undue pressure I put on myself because I just wanted to fit in. I didn't do anything to try to stand out. And when you don't stand out, nobody can see you. And I think we're going to have a feeling that we're going to talk about that a little bit today.
Taking a lot of notes, we're going to circle the wagon many times here, my friend. We're going to go back, but, now, I know baseball is a big passion of yours. You love the game, as do I. So it kind of blends into personal and professional because you got paid, which is fantastic. What about helping people understand a little bit about Andy Neary on the personal side outside of baseball?
Yeah, one thing that I pride myself on, John, has been an evolution and a journey of ups and downs. You talked to Andy Neary in 2007. I was a lost soul. And I talk about this a lot in my keynote talks, like 08 to 11, I made a lot of bad decisions personally and professionally. And today though, one thing we really pride ourselves at Complete Game Consulting is how we not only take care of our business on the field in business, but how we take care of ourselves off the field. So Andy Neary today as a person is somebody who is hyper-disciplined. My health is number one. And I truly believe it's an obligation, John, to take care of myself physically and mentally. If I'm going to teach my clients the same things, and if I'm going to show up as my best for my clients, I've got to be at my best. You know, I even go back to when I was an advisor. I believe that if I'm going to walk into an office of a client and tell them that their health insurance costs are going up this year 12% because their workforce is unhealthy, I better be a beacon of health. And so that's really where I put an emphasis on as a coach consultant. I've got to be at my best because how in the world can I show up for my clients if I'm not?
That's excellent. Again, we're talking a lot about mental health challenges and overcoming those challenges and what were those secrets? What were those tips? And again, for those people watching, for those folks listening, we oftentimes think that we've got to get diagnosed with some fancy word or something like that from a doctor to have a mental health challenge. And that isn't the case, is it? So we got to overcome that stigma. So I'm so glad you're willing to talk about, you know, whatever that story is. And I don't even know really what that story is, but this is really your opportunity to go back and share with us, you know, a story or several stories that were mental health challenges and how you overcame them.
Yeah, no, I, mental health right now. There's so many paths we can go down. I actually opened my talk at the Health Rosetta event last week with this story. You know, it's 2011. And that year was one of the worst years of my life. I was running a benefits agency for a property casualty agency, and I hated it. It had nothing to do with the team or the company. I just didn't like what I was doing. All my clients were small groups. I wasn't having any fun. I was pretty much a one-man show. ACA was about to come around, and I was like, oh, no way. And then personally, I had just broken up with it. In fact, in April of 11, I get in a bad car accident. I was hit by two semis. Somehow I walked away with a shattered hand and a bad concussion. A month later, my girlfriend breaks up with me. And I can remember that July of 11 feeling so paralyzed by anxiety, John, I couldn't do anything. In fact, I remember sitting at my desk one day at the office. And the only thing I knew what to do, I was so paralyzed, was to get up and leave. And I literally walked by right by our front desk, didn't say anything to anybody. I got in my car and I drove out to my parents' house. And I sat at their pool for the next 2 hours just staring. I couldn't do anything. And I was so low. Everybody has their own version of rock bottom, right? That was my rock bottom, was like being so paralyzed by making bad decisions and having that fear, the anxiety, literally a mental crisis that I couldn't do anything. It was in that moment that I said, I have two choices. I can continue to let this spiral out of control, or from this day on, I can make decisions that are going to be challenging, but are always going to move me in the right direction. And that first decision started with me walking into the office next day, and I quit. And the guy who ran the agency was a friend of mine. I said, I can't do this anymore. And I left that office the next day, not knowing what my future was. I thought I was out of the industry for sure. Actually, John, I thought that was my last hurrah with insurance. And then it just started a cycle of good decisions and good fortune from there that has really propelled me all the way to here 2022, running and owning this company today. But man, I'm here to tell anybody, if you have hit your rock bottom, there is an opportunity to come out the backside successful. Whether that's seeking help, whether that's seeking advice, seeking guidance, don't try to do it alone. Some of the best decisions I made, John, was finding mentors, the good mentors that were going to help me make good decisions, think bigger, all those things. Man, the beautiful thing is, if you are in a position right now, John, as you know, mentally, where you know things aren't good, know that there are answers. And the only thing you've got to do is ask.
That's powerful. And we're going to go back to a couple of these things because you brought up a couple of good points. And, you know, this gets into your space, right? It gets into your space of being a coach. And so many people think that there's this concept of going it alone, and that whether that's professionally or even when that comes to mental health. So what are your thoughts on that, about that whole concept of, you know, I'm just going to go it alone. I can figure this out myself. I can be successful myself. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, man. One of the things, I had my own epiphany just a couple of weeks ago, because everybody knows the cliche phrase, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And I realized Complete Game Consulting, we do three things, John. We coach, consult, and create content. And this epiphany hit me that, you know, one of the things that makes us very unique is we can help a company like Mazzetti or an agency create its content. But what we can do in addition to that is sit down with those people within that organization who are struggling and get down to the root problem of the struggle. That's the coaching. Over half of my discussions with my one-on-one clients on a weekly basis are not about tactics. It's about what's going on up here. What's holding you back? What would it feel like if you could do this? And to your point, to watch those people transform because they're now getting the help. And I'll say this, some of it's with the aid of medication. Some of it's not. But the point is they're seeking help from mentors and coaches to be able to give people that gift to help them transform. We create great content. We help develop great marketing plans. But the transformation I watch advisors and agency principals go through because of what we're able to help them do is what makes this all worth it.
Well, and again, if I'm going to go backwards, professionally speaking, from my own history with you, and I was at a desperate point of just feeling like I sucked. I mean, I was getting typical numbers in sales that an agency would get. Yes, we were moving the needle, but it wasn't anything of what I was used to in my past sales career. And I'll never forget asking you, and I'll never forget your response. And that whole process after you went through the bullets of what it takes to be on LinkedIn, and you said those three magic things: consistency, persistency, and patience. At that moment, I was terrible with patience, but one of those things is a normal strength of mine. I think I came out of the womb being persistent, but not everybody has those things. But that was the slap in the face that I needed to realize it's not just getting a coach. It's not just getting a mentor, it's getting the right one that's going to speak to what you need to make that progress. So how does that translate? What did you do in your process with that mental health challenge? Did you get a coach what did you do? I know you mentioned some things about anxiety, but there was a number of things going on there. You took action, right? You left that position. So
yeah,
help us understand.
Oh man, opened a can of worms. Yeah. Fast forward, from 2011 to today, the first big win for me from a mentor position was the guy who hired me, Burkwald & Associates. So when I quit that job, I actually got hired a few weeks later by a very well-respected firm in the market called Burkwald & Associates. Dan Burkwald was my first mentor, first good mentor. And besides my father and things like that, but in the business world, he was my first mentor. And he taught me so much about self-funding, but business and life. Like that's when I had my first taste of having a business mentor. We have business managers, right? We have sales managers, but mentors are something entirely different. And then when Amy and I decided to move out here to Colorado 3 years later, I found myself in a market where I had the knowledge, right? I had the skill. I was in a much better place mentally, but I still needed help because I'm in a market. Nobody knows who I am. I need advice, need guidance. And that's when I just kept seeking coaches. I joined masterminds. I hired a speaking coach. And today, John, like even today, I'm somebody who's not satisfied with okay. Amy and I were just talking about, Amy and I, if I'm being transparent, have had, we're not married. So call it marriage counseling, but we're not married. Why? Because we're not satisfied with okay. We want to make it great. And I think people wait until they're desperate to seek any help. But I will tell you, the most successful people are the ones who know they could be better, no matter how much success they're having today. And they constantly seek that guidance to take it to the next level.
That's excellent. And you've got you're going to give me writer's cramp with all these nuggets of gold, brother. This is fantastic. So looking back at your baseball career, was there anything that helped you handle? I mean, I can remember some games, and again, I never made it to the level you did, but we've had some other guests on that played baseball, not at the major league level. I mean, Robert Steele played baseball. Eric Silverman talked about in Little League about no highs and lows, just kind of going through. But was there anything that you made the transition that you carried with you, things that helped you manage your stress as a pitcher to life and in business? Or was it just something totally different that you realized, these are the things that are going to help me moving forward with anxiety?
That's an awesome question, because for a long time in my business career, John, I would find myself thinking, why am I freaking out right now and sounding and being so desperate? When I was on the pitcher's mound with guys on second and third and one out, I was calm. Why was I so calm on the pitcher's mound when all eyes were on me? Yet here in my business life, I'm freaking out. I'm a ball of anxiety and I am literally just frenetic energy. And it wasn't until I really dove into what made me good on the mound and how I can apply that to my business and life. And here's what I discovered. To be good on the mound in any sport, it's all the work you put in when no one's watching, right? Mm-hmm. The game itself is just the afterthought. But when you're putting in those countless hours, on a Friday night when your buddies are going out drinking, and you do that time and time again, you talk about the consistency and the persistency, you're going to show up on game day and that's going to be easy. That's the easy part. And I realized that's what made me so good with pitching. Those last two years at UWM, when I became a student of the game, that's when my performance on the field, became a natural afterthought. So I really started applying that to my business about 8 years ago, where I, again, sought mentors, joined masterminds, really dove into self-development, both mental and physical development. And today, man, I think the performance I and our company are putting out on the field, quote unquote, is a natural afterthought because it's all the work we're putting in when no one's watching.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And again, we're all that work in progress. One of the things I learned from you back this past February, down at Ascend, I believe it was, when we went out, we had a ton of time together. And my first
two dudes having steak.
You can't go wrong there, brother. So I'll never forget when I first asked you, like, dude, it's got to be early because I gotta be true to my time frame. I was like, you know what? Because at that point in time, I was still being flexible. And you know what? That gets you out of rhythm. And as a pitcher, you can't get out of rhythm. And it's so true in life and business, right? So, I mean, does that play a big part of it, sticking with habits?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the lessons baseball pitching has taught me, John, that it could apply to anybody's business life is limitless. I mean, just starting to think about habits. Some people tell me I'm too rigid with my habits, but you know what? I have non-negotiables. I was just doing a podcast episode, my own podcast episode about this week, about like Sunday mornings, I plan my week every week. I don't care where I am. We could be on vacation. I'll tell Amy, I got to take the next 45 minutes. I got to plan the week because once Monday rolls around, I need to be hitting on all cylinders. But my morning habits, we talked about the ice cold showers, the journaling, the reading, the exercising. That's the work you put in off the field when no one's watching. Now, the other part of this, that you talk about habits, the other part about pitching that really applies to my business today is you got to have a short memory. And this is when I realized I had what it took to grow this company. When I'm on the mound and I give up a 410-foot shot, guess what? There's a batter in the box and I've got to figure out how to get him out. I have got to forget that home run. Especially when you're on the road and the crowd is loud. There are days you are going to get your ass kicked, but it's your ability to get back up the next morning and do it all over again and love every single minute of it that's going to make you successful. And that's when I realized I could do this as an entrepreneur, is those days that are hard and it feels like you can't do anything right and you want to doubt your abilities and you have the imposter syndrome. It's that ability of getting back up the next morning and saying, let's get back after it.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And again, we're going to backtrack a little bit, talking cold showers. So what is, so this is something that, when you first started going down this road, I got to be right up there with your brother. I was like, gotta be kidding me, man.
You're too afraid.
Well, no, I get up too early as it is. Right. So it's like at 3:30, it's like that the last thing I want to embrace as well is a cold shower. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this because maybe there is something to it. Right. And did some research, but I'm just curious. So what are some of the benefits that you've seen and you've experienced? Because it could be a person to person differentiator, right? One person may get different benefits versus another, but what are some things that you've experienced that are positive about cold showers?
Oh man. Just again, if I could use a baseball analogy, right? When I was a starting pitcher in college, I had a routine before I started game day, I would make sure I got out and I ran pole to pole. I ran my poles, foul pole to foul pole, got so many miles in before I started. I would go out to the outfield and do my stretching. I had a heavy metal ball I'd do some exercises with. And then I had a routine where I just loved to jump rope. I felt like it got my legs activated. And then I'd start my pitching, my throwing routine. And when I do all of that, by the time I got into the bullpen to start actually warming up for the game, I was locked in. Baseball players are superstitious people. When I would do all that, that was that I'm on the mound and I'm confident. And I look at my morning routine the same way. When I get up, first of all, if you get up at 4:30, in your case, 3:30, and your competition's getting up at 5 or 5:30, do the math. If you got an hour advantage on them every day for 365 days a year, you have 365 extra hours that they don't have. But when I look at my morning routine, just like I did as pitching, the cold shower is one, very good for your immune system. Two, it wakes you up. It's and the most important part of the whole cold shower is it's hard. You are literally starting the day doing something hard. Mm-hmm. And then I go into my YouTube videos. That is something I've practiced for 4 years. I watch YouTube videos every morning, educational YouTube videos. Now do the math. If I do that for 20 minutes every day, compound that over 4 years, you know how much I basically got my MBA in whatever I want to learn. Then I go into my reading, again, more knowledge. I go into my journaling to talk about where am I at mentally today? What are my intentions today? And then I go get a workout in. Once I do all that, that's like me being on the pitcher's mound in the bullpen, absolutely locked in. And by 8 o'clock, I usually have my first client. Boom. I am so locked in on the rest of the day, not only confidently, but physically, that the rest of the day is a win. And so again, call it rigid, call it what you want. I will say morning habits, and the same can apply to your evenings. The morning habits are everything. And you are somebody who has applied the morning routine extremely well.
Yeah. Once you get into that rhythm, right? I mean, it can affect you. I know when I go on the West Coast and then come back, it just takes some time to get back into that. It feels like you're sledding uphill, but it's a process to get back into that.
Here's the light. If I could say one more thing about that, John, I've watched a lot of friends and peers, the ones that are the most successful just in business or in life in general. What I've seen, a common trait I've seen amongst them, and I feel like I'm getting there and I love it, is the successful people don't have to negotiate with themselves. They just do it. And it's a quote I got from my own business coach that whenever I'm faced with a hard decision, it's we do hard things. It's that simple. We do hard things. And I'm at a point today, and I think others, you and others are there too. You don't have to talk yourself into doing things. You just do them. When people say, well, man, you get up early and do that. Yeah, that's just what I do. That's how you know when you got your habits dialed in.
Yeah, one of the things that you presented me with a couple of years ago was that Conor McGregor quote of getting comfortable with the uncomfortable, right? Force yourself to do uncomfortable things. And ultimately, we do hard things, just like you said. So that's beautiful. I'm going to go back in time here again in pitching. You hear a lot of times coaches yelling out that, you know, breathe out there, breathe, right? How much does breathing or deep breathing or do you do any type of breathing work, exercises? I know Amy is heavy into that, of course, but give us a snapshot of some benefits of breathing or deep breathing exercises.
Yeah, great question. I mean, Amy, my girlfriend Amy, has now started her own practice with breath work because we feel it's so important. Breath work to me every morning, that's part of my morning routine, John. And I think when people think of breath work, they think of the basic, you know, breathe in, breathe out. And there's a whole new level of breath work if you want to go there. But what it does is it puts your mind in the right state. It brings clarity, may bring energy, depending on what kind of breath work you do. And the same can be applied to your evenings to wind yourself down. But breath work, it's another one of my non-negotiables. The power of breath. Amy says it so well. Guess what, guys? It's always here and it's always free. So if you ever are stressing out and you feel like your anxiety levels are higher than they should be, especially in Q4, why not stop for 5-10 minutes and just breathe? It's always here and it's always free.
One of our mutual friends, Jeff Glass, said to me, you know, he explained a method that he's used at times. And he said to me, you know what, John, I can do this in the golf course. I can do this in my car. I can do this between calls. And I thought, you know what? It's so easy for us to think that we have to do that in our morning or whenever we're working out, right? Or whenever our meditation time is, or whenever that block of time is set aside. But this is something we can use anytime when we feel our anxiety starting to go on the rise, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I'll tell you, I mean, because most of us work from home now, if I have a 10-minute space sometimes between a coaching call and I can feel myself like early afternoon slowly getting a little tired, I'll run, quickly jump in an ice cold shower again for 2 minutes. And I'm back at my coaching station ready to go. So like, it's not just a morning routine. It can be at any point in the day where you feel like you need that jump start, whether it's cold showers, breath work, it's always there, especially if you work at home.
Yeah. Yeah. So for those advisors that are out there, you know, that maybe this is their first time going into fourth quarter. This is a whole new experience for them. Their stress level is going to be, you know, kind of all over the place. If they were a barometer, it's probably going to show stormy season, right? So what's something that, looking back on your years of experience, not just as an advisor, but also just in life, that could help them make better decisions with their mental health in the fourth quarter?
This is where I get in trouble because I know not everybody wants to hear what I'm about to say. I think in our industry, John, the fourth quarter has, is it a time of more volume and more renewals? Yes, it is. Like, we can't deny that. But I think when people start telling themselves the story of how bad Q4 is going to be, and it's just July or August, what you think about comes about. So if you're already freaking out, you are going to act and respond that way. The ones that I have seen go through Q4 with consistency, they have a plan. They have a system. I watch too many agencies have this all hands on deck approach at renewal time in fourth quarter, where especially on the big accounts, we need everybody to help. If you have no plan to attack fourth quarter, it is going to be full of stress and anxiety. But you got to develop a plan to make sure you can get through it effectively. And by the way, that plan should also include self-care. Because if you are not at your best, how in the world are you going to get through Q4 successfully?
Yeah, and everybody needs a coach, not just in business, but also in life. So there's some great words there as well. And getting that help you need, whether it's professionally, whether it's personally, that can go a long
way. Or just Amy shared this on, she does breathwork sessions for our league of their own community, the women's community we run. And she just talked about this week about, with Q4 coming, what are you doing to take care of yourself? You got to be exercising, do your breathwork, go out and have fun with friends. You got to have fun. If you put all of that away for one quarter because you think it has to be all business, not only are you going to be miserable, you're not going to have as much success. Yeah, and you still got to take care of yourself.
Yeah. And it just, success doesn't just happen on its own, right? We know that, we talk about that. And some people think, you know, we started out this discussion talking about there's no going it alone and talking about that. How much, you know, when I first met you, a big focus was mindset. Mm-hmm. And how much does that play a part? You talked about that for that new person, that new advisor going into the fourth quarter, but how much does that play a part in your mental health, but also in your business of helping you feel healthy and keep on your trajectory?
Yeah, no, good question. I mean, mindset is everything. And I think in our industry, especially, we think it's product knowledge, tactics, things like that. No, mindset is the missing ingredient. And especially for new advisors, the reason they have imposter syndrome, right, is they're comparing themselves with their peers. They're comparing somebody else's chapter 10 to their chapter 1. You just have to know more about what you do than your client, than your prospect, to quit comparing yourself to your peers. Again, I'll go back to why my pro baseball career was so short. I feared judgment, comparison, and failure. The mindset, if you fear those three things right now in your insurance career, you're not going to sell much. Quit comparing, put yourself out there and don't care what others say about you, and lean into failure because it's the only way you learn. And I'll tell you, John, I beat those three things into submission over and over, but that is the mindset you have to have if you want to win in this business. I was just talking about this with one of my coaching videos this week. I heard this podcast over the weekend and had this epiphany. If there's a brick wall like this, the brick wall for most advisors is what is standing in the way from them where they are today and the business they want to win in the future. But here's the problem. On the left side of the wall where they stand is obscurity. Nobody knows who they are. Over on the right side of the wall is brand recognition. People know who they are. People start coming to you because they recognize you. We believe at Complete Game, attention is what you're missing in your business today. But in order to go from obscurity to brand recognition, you got to find a way over that wall. Now, you can climb or you can go through. But if you're going to go through the wall, what do you have to do? You have to take a sledgehammer and hit the same spot over and over and over again, which means you have to know exactly who you are. You have to know exactly who your ideal prospect is. And you have to know exactly what you're going to say to them over and over and over again. Quit trying to be all things to all people. Trying to be all things to all people is like taking the sledgehammer to all parts of the wall, hoping it comes down. But the most important thing in that whole process is don't fear what others are going to say about you. Don't compare yourself to others. And by all means, fail and fail often.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So for those advisors that are out there, they're looking for a coach, they might want to know more information. We didn't have a lot of time to get into all of it today, but we did scratch the surface. What's the best way for them to reach out to Andy Neary?
Yeah, man. Number one, if they want to join our text community, because we send out weekly coaching videos and just weekly texts, some cases daily texts for people who want them. That is all you got to do is text the word daily to 414-622-1462 daily, D-A-I-L-Y, to 414-622-1462. And we send out some great mindset coaching content on mindset, coaching content on the industry. And that's probably, you know, the best place to get started is join that community, because you're going to get some great content.
That's awesome. Any final thoughts to pass on to those who are watching, those who are listening here today?
I'm here to tell you, going back to what we've been talking about this whole time, John, you know, I was a 5'9" pitcher. I didn't have an overpowering arm. I wasn't a high draft pick, but I still found a way to play pro baseball. Why? It was because I put in the right work and I had the right mindset. Now, unfortunately, when I got to pro ball, I did not have the right mindset. And that's why I didn't last as long as I should have. If you just take that same mentality and I apply it to my business, guys, I was not a great sales closer. There were so many more advisors that had more gifts and talents than I had selling insurance. But you know what? When I realized I have to build a brand, I've got to get a lot of people to know me, and I've got to do it in a way where I'm going to fail. I don't care. I don't care what others think. I don't care how people compare me to others. I'm just going to do my thing and build my brand. That's when all of the fears went away, John. And that's when I got the recognition I needed and the attention I needed to grow my business. So guys, quit comparing, quit judging, just be you, do your thing, and do it consistently, persistently, and with a little patience, and you are going to hit your result.
Absolutely. Pure gold, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us today, man. This was an awesome discussion.
Thank you, John. No, I always enjoy our conversations, brother.
That's fantastic. And again, for those watching today, make sure you can watch or listen to this podcast. I'm just going to throw a couple of bullets out there, highlights. I'm not going to be able to go through all of them, but a couple of things that Andy mentioned here today. Find a good mentor. There's a lot of mentors out there. There's a lot of coaches. Find one that's best for you. He also mentioned, don't wait till you're desperate. That applies to both business and life. He took action at an appropriate time. He didn't wait till he was burned out or fried. And he made those decisions and he took action. He also mentioned being a student of the game, understanding and getting into it. In the insurance industry, if you're in a different position of sales, understanding and being having a greater knowledge of what you need to do, he talked about in marketing. And lastly, reach out to Andy Neary. He has helped me tremendously. And I'm going to just speak personally here for a moment. I would not be where I am today had he not invested time into me. Yes, I took action, but it's because of him giving me a game plan for success. So again, everyone, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Again, one more time, thank you to my brother, Andy Neary. And let's make this a great day, everyone, because your mental health matters. Take care.